Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, the results are in, starting at 6. I asked you for the greatest series ever on TV or streaming, and here we go. Number 5, Yellowstone. Number 4, The Wire. And I got to add this in, The Sopranos came in late to tie that, by the way. Number 3, Mad Men. Number 2, Ted Lasso. And number 1... Breaking Bad, which I guess would be the consensus favorite, without doubt, Breaking Bad. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Talk about the Saints and the Falcons and Tyler Shuck and more. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good, but if The Wire is not on that list, then it's completely invalid.
The Wire was number 4.
Oh, it was? Oh, yeah. They didn't list long enough. That's
fine. We had Yellowstone, we had The Wire tie with The Sopranos, okay. And we had Mad Men, Ted Lasso, and Breaking Bad.
Yeah, okay. I think there's some editing that needs to be done, but we'll move on.
Totaled the results. That's all I did. But what would you put in it?
Oh, I don't want to make any controversial takes.
No, it's okay. You can tell me. What is it? What would it be?
Well, The Wire should be higher. That's my take. Okay. Is The Wire should be up. It's one or two at minimum. Ted Lasso is too new age. I'm not putting that in there, but
what about The Americans? Have you seen that?
I have. Yeah, espionage doesn't thrill me the way that it thrills others.
Not a big fan of Homeland.
Homeland's
either.
Good. I like Homeland. Any sleeper agent thing, kind of. I don't know. It's tired.
Now what you got? You got The Beast in Me, I think is the name of it, or something like that, with Claire Danes. So you got a little bit of Homeland. You got Matthew Reese. So you got a little bit of The Americans, and you also have the guy from Breaking Bad that played the older guy. What's his name?
The guy from Malcolm in the Middle, is that who you're talking about?
No. The guy that played Mike Ehrmantraut, whatever his real name is.
I know him as Mike Ehrmantraut.
Jonathan Urquhart, I think, is his real name or something like that. Anyway,
the director of The Wire actually just has a new show out now. It's called Pluribus. I've been watching that. It's pretty good.
Okay, Jonathan Banks is his name. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, there you go.
From Breaking Bad. Anyway, let's talk about Tyler Shuck. First of all, what did the Saints do this week? Do you know, with the off week, did they give them a couple of days off?
Yeah, well, I think it's the NFLPA mandated that they get a certain amount of time that the teams just aren't allowed to contact them,
really?
At least not for football. Yeah, I mean, there's the players are, it's mandated that they get a certain amount of time away. I don't know exactly how much time it is, but yeah, they do their own thing. And the biggest thing for the bye week is that you come back without any headlines about your players that you didn't want to see, right? Because mm-hmm. A lot of these guys go their separate ways, whether they travel to spend time with their family or if they live here and they get away that way. So yeah, it's the important thing is that the players kind of recharge. I think that's the way Kellen Moore put it, and it's the right way. It's like, you know, you just kind of get your feet back under you. This is I think in a scenario where you're not 2-8, week 12 or week 11 rather is a perfect time to get a bye week, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're kind of setting up for that stretch run. I've always felt like when you get a bye week, like, I think the earliest you get is week 5. You know, anytime you're that early in the season, you're getting your bye, and then you're looking at, you know, 12 weeks of football without a break. It's not ideal. You know, if you were going into the bye even at, 5-5, I think you would feel a lot differently about the season because you're kind of just set up, and you look at the teams left on the schedule. I think the winning percentage of the teams they faced in the first 9 weeks was like 700. The teams they face in the final 7 weeks it's closer to 300 in terms of winning percentage. So there's wins on the back half of the schedule, let's put it that way.
I think that there are a lot of them, actually, and I would just ask you, if you look at, you know, first of all, going into the season, it's hard to make a bet, I think, on total number of wins, because it all depends on injuries and it all depends on what the situation is with the team that you're playing at the time, right? So with that being said, when you look at the Saints, who have been relatively lucky, I hate to say that, but with injuries other than, what, McCoy, and who's the safety they lost?
Julian Blackman, yeah.
Blackman. I hate to say that because I don't want to put the Grigory on him, but if you look at that and if you look at who they're playing and the records and the injuries and all of that, I don't know, man. The possibility, and I said this yesterday morning, talking with Mike DeTillia, I think it was Monday morning yesterday, about the Saints maybe running a table on this. Am I getting just crazy here or not?
I'd settle for two wins in a row before I started talking about three or more, right? Because it's just a question of, I think it's more about, hey, you have a lot of winnable games, and can you play like a team capable of winning plus matchups? Right, like one of my long-held takes is, like, you don't have to beat all the good teams on your schedule to be a persistent, consistent postseason contender. You need to beat the bad teams and pick off a few of the good teams on your way. And what the Saints probably need to prove over the second half of their season is that they can beat the bad teams. Because frankly, there are bad teams on the schedule, and it's going to be frustrating to watch, just in the sense that, you know, as of right now, they're, you know, projected to get the number four pick in the NFL draft. I don't think that they're going to get anywhere close to that, because I think there's probably three or four wins that they pick up on the way. They end the season with four or five wins. And, you know, if people want to talk about parity, like, I think there's a lot of parity in the top half of the league. In the bottom half of the league, there's a lot of teams at the bottom of the barrel. And I think to be at the bottom of the barrel, you kind of just have to accept that's where you are. And the Saints aren't going to do that. And they're going to win a few games. And I think there's value there. Like, I've always felt like, you know, the value of learning how to win, of creating a winning formula and, like, creating a winning culture is much higher than the value of, hey, I'm going to pick fourth versus I'm going to pick eighth.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can add all the top picks you want to a team that can't win games and doesn't understand how to win games. You're just going to be a team with better draft picks that still can't win games. Especially when you're talking about a young quarterback. And I think that's you brought up Tyler Shuck. Like, over the second half of this season, we're going to find out, or at least start to find out, whether he's the guy you build around or he's the guy you try to find a replacement for. Right? Like, you're in one of those two situations. And I think you'd be way better off if it turned out that he was the guy that maybe ruins your draft pick a little bit, but is someone that you can build around at the quarterback position. Because you don't need a top five pick if you're not desperately trying to find that next quarterback, because you can go all a bunch of different routes. Just look at what the Lions were able to do, and they brought in a Jahmyr Gibbs and a tight end they drafted whose name is escaping me, Sam Laporta, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they drafted those guys higher than you probably typically want to, but they felt like they had a lot in place, and they were able to get aggressive in the skill position market. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
So, from what you saw of Tyler Shuck against Carolina, do you think he can be the guy?
I think there's a possibility that he can be. You know, it's funny because the way I talk about it is, you know, I've watched a lot of high draft picks play and not have a single performance that looked as capable or as ready to be an NFL quarterback as Tyler looked against the Panthers. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that he's going to do that every week. It would be, it's impossible for him to do that every week. He's a rookie quarterback. He's going to have bad weeks. But you need to see the potential before you can start to believe that there's something, you know, at the end of the rainbow, right? Like, if you never see the potential, then why would you have any confidence that it's in there at all, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I'm at with him, is, like, I saw a guy who's playing the quarterback position the way you need to play it to be a successful NFL quarterback. I think a lot of times we get caught up in, oh, this is an exciting player, this is an exciting player. I think Jackson Dart is a good example of that this year, where Jackson Dart, everyone's talking about him like he's this future franchise quarterback. Well, he's out this week with a concussion because he's playing the quarterback position with reckless abandon. He's running. He's using his athleticism prior to using his ability as a quarterback. And you're not going to have sustained success that way. Like, there's maybe a handful of players in the current NFL that have the type of skill set where you can have success that way long term, and I don't think he's one of them. And so, like, what makes me optimistic about Tyler is he's not being an athlete first. He's being a quarterback first. And when you can do that and then use your athleticism to make plays beyond that, that's how a long-term viable NFL quarterback plays. And that's why I came out of that game feeling very good about what I saw with Tyler. If he was just a guy who was running around and doing all these kind of college quarterback things where he's trusting his athleticism before his quarterback ability, I would feel differently about it.
Is there any way we can tell yet? Because so many times, you know, you look at Jared Goff and who's the other one, Detroit and Los Angeles, which quarterbacks?
Matthew Stafford,
yeah. How, you know, just wasn't a good fit for either one, and they switched and it worked out. Is there any way to tell yet if Tyler Shuck and Kellen Moore are a good fit?
Yeah, we'll find out. Right, like it's so early on in this process. Mm-hmm. He does look comfortable in the offense, which is a good start, right? And we'll see, right? Because no one really had any tape on Tyler until the last 2 weeks, so teams are going to adjust. They're going to figure out what he likes to do, and how Kellen and Tyler and the quarterback coaches and all the offensive coaches kind of adjust to that and build game plans around it is going to tell you a lot in terms of how they work together, but. I do think it's an interesting comparison just because, you know, Tyler Shuck will tell you that the quarterback he grew up kind of watching, and it makes you feel old just saying it, but like modeling his game after was Matthew Stafford and the way he's able to throw off platform and from multiple different angles and has never been the greatest athlete in the world, but has enough of it to find success at the NFL level. This final seven games, like, yeah, we could talk about, like, can they run the table and maybe sneak in the playoffs at 9-8? Like, I don't really think that conversation is really worthwhile at this point. Mm-hmm. I think the conversation to have is, okay, how can you build the quarterback in this offense so that you go into the offseason feeling like, okay, we've got kind of a kernel here. We're stacking positives in that way. How can we build around that? But you just have to make sure that what you're building around is solid. Otherwise, you know, it's not much to go on.
So the first thing you got to do is put Tyler Shuck in the best position to win, which sounds silly because you always want to do that, but you need to test him in live fire to make sure that he is the guy or can be the guy. Accurate?
Yeah, it's just about being honest in your evaluations and being just like accepting like, okay, this is reality, this is where it is, and this is where you can get better, right? Like you're building a house. What do you start with? You build a foundation, and then you build a house on top of it. If you start to build a house before you have a foundation, it's just gonna, you know, float away, right? Like it's not that's just not how you build a team. And it's interesting because the Saints for a long time haven't gone the draft route. Like there's a lot of different ways to establish a viable quarterback, and whether that's through the trade market, whether that's through the free agent market, whether that's through the draft, there's really no one right way to do it. The only right way to do it is getting it right. Mm-hmm. And the Saints got it right with Drew Brees, and that worked out really well. You look at a team like the Browns, they've tried basically every way. They've drafted at the number one overall. They traded for a Deshaun Watson, right? They signed free agents. None of it's worked because they got the evaluation wrong every time.
All right, let's talk about evaluation when we come back. 9:21, more with Jeff Nowak. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Talking about the Saints, he is our Saints sideline reporter and WWL contributor. He's got some nice stuff up there right now at WWL.com. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about Yak Attack and more about who are we building around and big boy contracts and more that he wrote about when we return on WWL. 9:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's Falcons Hate Week, joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. You get the Falcons rivalry, don't you, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's better when both teams are good. 2-8 versus 3-7 isn't exactly thrilling television, but I think it can be and will be one of those throw-out-the-records type situations, and I don't think anyone in Saints land is going to be super empathetic to the Falcons' injury situation. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, let's talk about the Falcons. How beat up are they?
Well, as of now, very beat up. They're going to be without Michael Penix. The $40 million man, Kirk Cousins, is going to get a chance to start. He didn't exactly look capable when he got a chance earlier this season. They got blown out by the Dolphins in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that. And but the bigger injury, honestly, is probably Drake London, the wide receiver. You know, he's their leading receiver by quite a wide margin. They obviously have Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson who are going to contribute, but they don't have another wide receiver who is over 100 yards on the season, or at least I think Darnell Mooney might be the only one, and he's slightly over 100 yards receiving. So, you know, that, like, they're going to have a hard time making things go in the pass game. And so the Saints are going to be able to lock in on Bijan, on Kyle Pitts. And it's going to make Kirk's life pretty miserable. So, you know, this is the betting line has already shifted. I think the Saints went started the week, opened as 2.5-point underdogs. Now they're 1.5-point favorites, I think, the last time I checked. So this is a game they should win at home. So it's going to be, I'm probably going to put a little bit more pressure on the Saints, just in the sense that, you know, they won't have any excuses if they can't find a way to win this game.
Let's talk about lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Let's talk about the Taysom Hill.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Packages. How do you think they've done this season?
You know, they've been hit or miss. I did appreciate what they were able to do at the end of last game. They, you know, running out the final 7.5 minutes of a game is not easy. You know, you don't see it happen very often. And so I think he was elite in that part of the game in terms of kind of churning those hard yards. They know you're going to run. So being able to run for 2.5 yards in those situations and turning over first down, is impressive. And so I think he's going to continue to be used in that part of the game. I haven't been as impressed in kind of the traditional Taysom Hill packages. I don't know if he's still getting his feet under him. You know, he did come back from a major knee injury. He's 34 years old. But I don't know if they've been sequencing it the way I'd necessarily like to see. And part of that is just they haven't been successful when they've done it. When you're running on 2nd and 3 and you get a 1 yard run and setting up a 3rd and 2 for your quarterback, I don't want that. Against the Rams, you know, they gave Taysom 2 reps on 1st and 2nd down after that long run that he had, and then you throw your rookie quarterback into a 3rd and 9. I don't love that. There was a 3rd and 2, I think they threw him in on. You get the 1 yard run, they're stuck on 4th and 1. They go for it, they hand it to Alvin. He goes on that. There was a 4th down play against the Rams that they didn't convert. I think it was 4th and 2. They went to Taysom, they didn't get it. So it's really been more of a lack of success than anything else. And it's frustrating to see, because in order to get Taysom those opportunities, you have to take the rookie quarterback off the field, so you're kind of eliminating some developmental opportunities in 3rd down and 4th down situations that I'd really like to see the rookie in. So
do you think we're likely to see less of Taysom Hill with that consideration?
I think you're gonna, I mean, definitely not against the Falcons, because Taysom has always been you know, at his best against the Falcons. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. I think they're going to continue to utilize him where they can. Whether that's going to be kind of the – I don't think people are going to be out there raging for more Taysom reps, more Taysom touches, mm-hmm. just based on the results. He's on the roster. They're going to use him. He's going to be their short yardage guy. And so I don't know how much – I think what they probably should do is start to get him more involved outside of those kind of traditional quarterback reps where it's very straightforward. They know what you're going to run, and it's not being successful. Like, I'd like to see him get more opportunities in the pass game, more traditional running back handoffs where teams aren't necessarily gearing up, you know, to stop a quarterback run. But we'll have to see. I'd love to tell you I know exactly what Kellen Moore is going to do the second half of the season, but, you know, this is where you get that extra week and all that self-scouting, and you can come out with some new kind of wrinkles that, you know, you've kind of learned about yourself that you may not have had time to kind of identify over the first 10 weeks of the season. It's kind of a blur, especially for a first-time head coach. So we'll have to wait and see. I'd like to see them get a little more creative with how they're using Taysom.
What surprised you most at this point from where we were during the preseason?
What surprised me?
So what has surprised you most? Disappointed you? It can be a positive thing or a negative thing.
Yeah, probably what's most disappointing to me is the lack of run after catch with so many kind of elite athletes on this team. And obviously, Rashid Shaheed was here for a majority of it. You know, one thing I did over the bye week was kind of come up with a master list of what I call like good team stats and bad team stats, which is effectively like I look at the top 10 of any stat, and if 7 or more of the top 15 records are in that stat, and the top 10 of that stat, it's a good team stat, right? Mm-hmm. And some correlate more to success than others. One that's very clear is the teams that excel and run after catch tend to be the good teams, right? Like when you're able to generate free yardage after the catch, you're going to have more success. And the Saints just haven't done that. They were down toward the bottom of the league over the first 9 games of the season. And then last week, you watched it. You know, Chris Olave, long touchdown, catch and run. Juwan Johnson had a 52-yard catch and run. And then a 30-yard touchdown that was a catch and run situation. Even Devin Neal, he had a 10-yard catch, but that was a 4-yard catch and a 6-yard run. There just hadn't been enough of that when you consider you have 2 of the fastest guys in the NFL as your top 2 wide receivers. Like, not taking advantage of that is one of the biggest issues of this offense. And so, like, I think that's – if you can get more of that, get more of that catch and run, you're going to see the yardage totals for your skill positions tick up. You're going to see the success rate tick up, and you're going to see more wins. So, you know, over the second half of the season, I'd love to see a lot more of that. And hopefully Tyler Shuck can kind of bring that out of these guys.
I've not charted film where I could tell you that specifically it's for this or that, but ball placement has a lot to do with that, does it not?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And it's as simple as, you know, delivering the ball inside a guy's frame as opposed to forcing him to fight it.
Right.
Right? Like both touchdowns of Juwan Johnson, if you go back and watch, you see a quarterback who's kind of on the move and delivers the ball to a guy right in his frame where he can catch it, tuck it, turn upfield, and run, right? If you force him to go high, you force him to go low, maybe fall
back
to make that catch, you
back,
eliminate all of that yak, and instead of a touchdown, it's a goal-to-go situation that who knows what happens. Like, taking advantage of the yards that are there is critical to just having an efficient offense.
How do you think the young DBs have played?
You know, it's been hit or miss. You know, I think there have been games where they've been really aggressive, really effective. You know, I do think that there's been moments this season where I think the scheme is kind of, you know, you're figuring it out. You're playing a lot more zone than you did last year, especially for a guy like Kool-Aid. So, you know, finding his way in those situations kind of has been, you know, like against the Rams, for example, like there were guys running free all day. But then you saw against the Patriots, it was a completely different situation. Like, you had tight coverage, you just weren't making plays on the ball. And that's just when you decide to roll with young defensive backs or rookie and a second year player as your starters, you're kind of accepting, okay, you're going to learn on the job a little bit. And I think that's what you've seen. I think both guys are quality players. Like, there was some reps last week for Quincy Riley against Tet McMillan that I was really impressed with. You know, he's always going to be a guy that's kind of a ball hawk, a nose for the ball type player. So I'd like to see more takeaways from those guys on the outside, or if nothing else, kind of plays on the ball where you can tip it up and maybe let a safety get under it. Haven't seen enough of that. But no, I mean, for two young players who are kind of thrown into the fire, I'm okay with it. You know, it hasn't been the strength of your team, but I don't think it's been the weakness of your team either.
Kellen Moore performed about what, like, you thought he would.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I think the second half of the season is going to tell you a lot. What I do appreciate about what he has done is it's not easy to coach a group through a 2-8 start, mm-hmm. or a 1-8 start, rather. I mean, like a 2-8 at the bye week with some positivity. Like, it's an impressive thing to see the group go out there and continue to play at the level they're playing, or at least with the motivation they're playing with. And I think that is a good reflection on the head coach. It's easy to see teams fracture. You know, we saw that during the Dennis Allen era. Things started well and then fell apart, and you could see the locker room kind of getting away. It happened each of the last 2 years before he was fired. That hasn't happened this year, so I do think there's something to be said for that in terms of a big part of a head coach's job is keeping the morale up, keeping everyone kind of pulling the rope in the same direction, paddling the same direction, like whatever metaphor you want to use. They've done that. Some of the in-game stuff I'd like to see him improve on. I've questioned some of the decision-making just in the broader kind of part of the game, like choosing to have the wind against you in the fourth quarter of a game on the road, like, feels odd when you have the choice, stuff like that. you know, some of the timeout decision-making I haven't been a huge fan of. Kicking field goals inside the five-yard line, I'm very much critical of. I don't think you should ever be doing that unless it's kind of an end-of-game scenario or there's a clear, like, points-to-gain situation. In the first quarter of a game, you're kicking a field goal inside the five-yard line. I'm sorry. That's just not a good decision. So we'll see. I think that's kind of I'm going to grow into the head coaching role. But I'm okay with how things have gone. I think a lot's going to hinge on how things go the rest of this season and into next season and how you build. Because we've had the bad times. Let's see if you can kind of put some, you know, replace that with the good times, right?
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it as always. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Got some great stuff at WWL.com for you. We're going to take a break, talk about a big convention that's coming to town, 9:38, 22 till 10. First, a look at traffic on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.